awesome music, awesome breakfast, awesome family of God. Resurrections in the Bible are not really rare. It's not a rare occurrence or a rare topic. Resurrections, including that of Jesus himself, are throughout Jewish teaching and our Bibles. This morning I want to talk to you for a moment about a few of those resurrections, including as the spotlight, Jesus. But I think there's something here for us to grasp outside of just a distant holiday that we are worshiping, something that happened 2,000 years ago, and we are actually worshiping the risen Christ who is alive today and in our lives. So with a brief overview of some resurrections, I think we will find it personal and helpful and encouraging to us. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to celebrate this day, to remember your resurrection. Lord, we are thankful for our family here who love you, who just adore you and worship you, to be able to sing what we've sang this morning. Lord, it's been beautiful. Lord, now open our hearts to you, the living Savior. May my words be carried by the Spirit, go inside of every heart and mind here. Lord, may it be your word, the word of God, the Bible, the Holy Spirit that does any work and gets any glory. You were rose from the dead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In John chapter 11, we have a preview to resurrections. The Bible is often doing something like that. The Bible oftentimes gives us a preview in Bible speak, in Bible language. Sometimes it's called types or shadows. But it seems like as we read through our Bibles, it is always giving us some sort of a preview of something to come, something that moves throughout the Bible. And really, not that long before Jesus was crucified, buried and rose again, he was at a town near Jerusalem, and his friend Lazarus had died. The two sisters, Martha and Mary, if you're familiar with this story, came out of their village at Bethany and sent word to Jesus that his friend Lazarus was very sick. And Jesus said, I'm going to wait a couple more days. This is for the glory of God. And sure enough, Lazarus died in those few days that Jesus waited. As Jesus came back finally to Bethany, the story picks up this way in John chapter 11, verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." You can see there that Martha, this Jewish lady, knew about the resurrection on the last day. It was filled, Jewish prophecy, Jewish teaching was filled with the resurrection hope. They knew it. They understood that. But to be resurrected this day, to have something sooner or quicker, was foreign to them. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives, believes in me, will never die." Paul taught this, as the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Jesus in the air. So we're just carrying this teaching of the resurrection right on into the New Testament. And the big question that Jesus asked, do you believe this? Do you believe in the resurrection? She said, "I believe in you. I believe in you." What a great story. Jesus did bring Lazarus back from the dead. By verse 38, Jesus was deeply moved and he comes to the tomb. It was a cave and there was a stone rolled up against it, just like his would be. And Jesus said, "Take the stone away," and they did. And he says, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth, just like Jesus would be. And Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." Many, many believed, but many still didn't. And that's the case with the resurrection. Many believe and many still don't. But what a great preview of Jesus' own resurrection. I like the account right now. I like the account in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, you know the story. Now after the Sabbath, this is 28 verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see where he was laid.' Then they go quickly and they tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Don't be afraid of the risen Jesus. What I really like about this story right now is that in chapter 27, the guards, the chief priests, the Pharisees, and Pilate, the Roman governor, we're really trying to stop this resurrection. They really were hoping it wasn't real. They didn't want even a hint of it to happen or anything like it. I really think they knew something was different and up about this Jesus. Their story doesn't make sense to me. says in verse 62, the next day, that is after the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, 'While he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And that last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. I think this story is a little lame, be honest with you. I mean, so what if they steal the body away? So what if nobody's there and you go back the next day and they go, "Look, the tomb's empty. Jesus rose from the..." You still have a dead Savior somewhere, and he's not showing up anywhere. I mean, big deal, right? I think it's a little lame. I think they knew something was up. They didn't want it to happen, whatever it was. They weren't sure. But in the end, they actually added credibility to this story. Jesus was in fact risen from the dead. The guards were there and stone cold scared. And then after 28:11, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. Now we have a reporter to the resurrection. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers. He said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed, and this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. I think they just added credibility to the story. You take him out, you steal him by night, nobody's there. Where's he at? He's still dead somewhere, and nobody ever sees him. Okay, yeah, the disciples made up a really great story. So go and put some reporters there by the tomb so that when they see the angel and they see him and they see the light, they are scared to death. Now we have actual witnesses to the resurrection story. And those witnesses were there to prevent this from happening. So thank you very much for that. Now we have witnesses. As just an aside note, for those of you that have an eschatological leaning, you like to think about end times. It occurred to me that the chief priests and the Pharisees, the Jews, were working with Pilate, the Roman governor, to stop this so-called resurrection from happening. I mean, the Jews hate the Romans. The Jews want nothing to do with them, but out of their land, they hate the Romans. But on this day, mainstream religion worked with mainstream politics to try and prevent the resurrection. Two sides that hate each other work together to try and accomplish this goal. In my mind, if we're talking previews, some of you are aware of the story in Revelation of the beast and the false prophet. There is a political head, a one-world antichrist type figure, political, and then a false prophet, a religious leader. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, they don't necessarily have to like each other. Because these guys hated each other, but they worked together to try and accomplish their goal. So as we see the time ticking toward the end, should we be here, don't be surprised if you see a religion of mainstream that really doesn't care for the political place of this politician, Antichrist. If they hate each other, they can still work together to try and defeat our risen Savior, and they will come to the same place they did on this day. They will lose. They will not, because Jesus will return and be victorious over all. It's really quite an amazing picture, preview of the next coming of Jesus Christ. And then as we kind of round out our picture of revelations and resurrections, turning to the book of Revelation, wouldn't you know, in chapter 19, we're told about this marriage supper of the Lamb, where the bride of Christ is reunited in heaven with the Lamb. And that the bride is us. We are the bride of Christ. The church is now has been resurrected and is in heaven with our Lamb Jesus. And it's a marriage celebration. We are there. And in chapter 20, having gone through this time of great tribulation, there are those ones who were saved through the tribulation. They weren't the church, but they were saved through the tribulation, and they were beheaded. To get through the tribulation, you will lose your life if you believe and follow Jesus. So in chapter 20, verse 4, it says, "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God." Man, don't think for a minute that that book you're holding in your hands isn't powerful. These people were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for living by the word of God. "And those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, they came to life again and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Listen. So you have the church, right? You have the bride and the Lamb having a marriage celebration. And you have these ones who are now dead from the tribulation, their belief in the tribulation. They are raised. And the rest of the dead who didn't believe in Jesus, who didn't believe through the tribulation, the rest of the dead, the unsaved, they did not come to life again until the 1,000 years were ended. So that's the only hope I can give you today if you're an unbeliever. You've got at least 1,000 more years to lay in the grave before that day. Look at what it says. This is the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. There's two. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. So there's the church and there's the beheaded, and it's the first resurrection, and the rest of everybody else who would not believe, they are still in the grave. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. And their numbers like the sand of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, whether they like each other or not. They are together, and they will be tormented day and night forever. Now the second resurrection. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, And no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, now the unsaved dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So the second resurrection, when the sea and the graves finally give up everybody, death and Hades give up everybody, they stand before the throne and they are judged for what they have done. They were judged for their works. They were judged for their life. Now, before you think, okay, maybe I can pull this thing off, let me just read one passage of Scripture to you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. If you and I are to be judged by our works, we are in the second resurrection and the second death, because no one is saved by their works, by their good life, by their doing. If you missed the first resurrection because you believed in Jesus now, or you didn't live through the tribulation and get your head chopped off, you are in the second resurrection and the second death, and you will be judged according to your works. Now the problem is, you've done a lot of really good things in your life, but there's still got to be a payment for your sin. So you've done good things, but nobody's paying for your sin. And that's got to be paid for. If it doesn't, then this means nothing, and Easter means nothing. You are on your own. You are on your own. Your sin has to be paid for. And that's what this is all about. So you don't want to be in the second resurrection or the second death. That would be tragic. That would be tragic. Three resurrections: Lazarus, Jesus, and the end times resurrections. Two of them in Revelation. It is throughout Scripture. It will happen. It will happen, and it did happen. There is one more resurrection, and that is your resurrection and my resurrection. Well, I thought we were going up in the church. I thought we were part of that. I thought we were going. No. Before that, there's a resurrection before that. There's a resurrection before the rapture, before he comes back. There's another resurrection. It's our resurrection. Me and you, the believers. That's our resurrection. Listen. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. That's our resurrection. Now, if you believe in Jesus now, if sometime in the past, you believe in Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, he says, you've been resurrected. You've been raised from the dead. You were dead to God and dead in your sins and dead, quite honestly, in your soul. You've been raised. Put your mind up there. Think about the glories of Jesus and what He's done. Think about the values of what He's teaching us from there. Think about these things. Just start to think differently. Don't worry. Don't just camp right here on earth, He says. You've been raised with Christ. You've been raised with Lazarus. I don't know how he felt. Isn't that something we always think about? I mean, listen, if you were dead, and all of a sudden you hear Jesus going, "Hey, come on out," and you come walking out there, and you're just covered with rags, and you're like, "What?" And they start taking them off you. I mean, how do you feel? And they pull that off, and you've got all the goop and ointment, and the girls are hugging you, and everybody's happy, and the whole place is cheering. Yeah! And I mean, how do you feel? It's like, you died, you're dead. It's like, no, I'm alive, yeah, but you're dead. And it's like, how would that feel? That would be a party of all parties, wouldn't it? I mean, wouldn't you think differently? I mean, you used to like Jesus, but now, I mean, it's like, yeah, he raised me from the dead. That's crazy. And I know that Martha and Mary saw things in a whole different light. I mean, everything was new that day for that family. He was risen from the dead. And he says that we are too. He says that if you've been raised with Christ, and we have, there will be a whole new me and you. There will be a whole new me and you. There is no such thing as a person believing, giving their life to Jesus, and staying the same. It can't happen. It can't happen no more than Lazarus stayed the same, or Martha and Mary stayed the same, or that Jesus stayed the same. It can't happen. And it says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, you've put on the new self. It's called a new you, new self. Listen to what it says. Which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. The new self has a creator. And it's God. It's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He has created and is creating a new you. And the new you is being renewed and refreshed and revigorated and strengthened all the time in knowledge of God and in knowledge of Jesus. But it's really not you doing it. You're being renewed after the image of its, my new self's, creator. My new self has a creator. Let me put it to you this way. Another verse, Romans 8:29. You have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. You accepted Christ. If you are like me, you are weak and pathetic. And you just looked at this whole thing and you just said, there is no way. I don't know how I'm going to live this life, how I'm ever going to do what you guys do, dress how you dress, talk like you talk, read that book with a little tiny print. I don't know how I'm ever going to do this, but okay, here we go, because I have made a mess out of what I'm doing. Boom, Jesus, take me. Take me, Jesus. I'm unworthy in everything that I am. Take me. I'm yours. And he, its creator, creates a new person out of Terry. He predestines my destination now for Terry instead of prison or death. My new destination is he's going to conform me to the image of Christ. He's going to do it. That's good news for a guy like me. Galatians, same thing. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Let me ask you one question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Were you saved by faith or by works of the law? And we already know the answer to that. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected, completed, conformed to the image of Christ by the flesh? Is that what's making you complete? Is because you have all these laws and rules and do's and don'ts? Now I have the Holy Spirit. Now I can just go, yep, 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 nope, 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 yep, 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 nope, 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 boom. Is that how it's working for you? That's what he's saying. He calls them fools. Because it's the Holy Spirit in us that gives us new life. It's the Holy Spirit in us that conforms us and gives us the knowledge of Him. If you want to read your Bible, please, 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 please do. Feed the Spirit. But never think it is by your effort that you have been risen from the dead. No dead man raises himself. And even Jesus says he was raised up from the dead by his Father. By the Spirit, he was raised from the dead. Listen, I say that because of this. You may have some reservations about surrendering your whole life to God. You may have some reservations about this whole thing. And I'm encouraging you with this. It won't be you. It won't be you. If it were you or if it were me, we would not make it. But it is not us. It is Him. It is the risen Savior there, seated at the right hand of God, praying and interceding and watching out for us and telling the Holy Spirit, feed them, feed them, feed them, protect them, guide them, grow them, conform them to the image of me. It is the risen Savior in you who will totally change your life. Have no fear. Have no fear of living up to it. He will pick you up and raise you up to it. You will be renewed after the image of your new man's Creator. He will see to it that you change and that you grow. And if you're not a Bible reader, He will see to it that you develop a hunger for the Bible. Because that's your food. He says that's like a newborn baby crying at his mother's side for food, for a bottle. He'll give that to you. Hard to understand, isn't it? All them little bitty letters on that big old page. Man, that stuff's talking about thousands of years. He's going to help you to understand it. You can't, but He will help you to understand it. He wrote it. Have no fear. Trust Him. You don't really want to just take my word for it. Nice guy that I are. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays for the church. He says, I don't stop praying for you. Now, I love that. He always says, I just don't stop praying for you. I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. He's gonna help you get it. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, because that's where it has to go, not here, here. But He's going to enlighten our hearts, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. You have hope. And that you might know what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. You have an inheritance, and it's glorious. It'll start out with a big wedding party with the Lamb. And what is, He will help you to know, what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Listen, you have the power in you from the Holy Spirit. When you surrender your life to Christ, when it's just done, when you've said, I'm done, I want a new self, a new life, I don't know, it's a huge picture, I don't think I can live up to it, but if you say so, I'm going to try it, but here, Lord, take my whole life, I'm yours. And He says, let me tell you, the power that raised Jesus from the grave is coming into you now, and it will change you. I know you've tried for years and years and years and years to get a hold of your life. I know you've tried, and it is just seems to just keep unraveling and unraveling and unraveling, and you've hung on really good. You've really hung on, but you're just not changing, are you? Things aren't going the way you want them to go. I mean, it's just not there yet, right? Let me tell you, since you're sitting there at Easter, since you're singing songs about the risen Savior, let me tell you about that power, because it's coming into you. I'll give it to you. I'll give you wisdom and I'll give you knowledge. I'll give you inheritance. I'm going to conform you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to change you into the image of Jesus, this one you're singing about. I'm going to take the same power that I picked Him up from the grave, and I'm going to pick you up from the grave. And they're going to say, what happened to Terry? He's a pastor. No. It's a different one. It's going to make a whole new person out of you. It isn't you. It's Him. All glory goes to Him. You keep trying, you keep working, but quite honestly, you don't have the wisdom to do it. Quite honestly, you're not quite smart enough to get it yet, but He will give it to you. He will give it to you. Do you want to know a little inside information? Do you want to know why so many people have taken a shot at church? You know those people. I tried church. I mean, I went for a while. I read a little bit. I've read some. Took a shot at that. It won't work. Without the Holy Spirit in you, without Him doing it, it won't work. Well, go ahead, take another shot. Go ahead. Look, take a shot. A lot of people have. A lot of people have taken a few shots. I mean, they've tried church a few times. Just not there. Just not happening. It ain't going to happen. Not until you surrender your life. Not until you just say, okay, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Just take me. Just take me. Give me the wisdom I need. Give me the knowledge I need. Give me the power I need. Give me the inheritance I need. Give me whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to do it. And that's how I did it. because I was waiting to be sentenced to 4 to 20 in prison, and I just said, look, if you can work with this, good luck, but here I am. Take me. Take me. I didn't have a clue. I had no clue how this thing would ever play out, ever. Because I knew that I had tried and failed. I'd been to church. Come on. I'd walked the aisle. It just wasn't catching, you know, it just wasn't taking hold, as they like to say. And it never will. Never will. Until you're ready to die. Until you're ready to die. Go, I'm done. I'm done. Here I am. Take me. When you're ready to do that, the same power that raised that man from the grave comes into you, and you begin to change. And your new self has a creator now who is very good at watching over your new self. And he will continue to change you. And he gives you the power to make it through some of the most difficult things you could ever imagine. I'm not saying life gets clean and pretty. I am saying you become a new person who now knows him, and you have life just in that relationship. And he takes you through some situations you'd never believed you'd gone through before. You'd have crashed and burned 6 times before, but now you just seem to be keep going right on through it. You have a new you. And it has a creator who's going to take care of the new you. And everything you need. And you will get it. And he will guard you and protect you. And so he calls it eternal life. You don't got to worry about getting halfway through the program and him saying, sorry, you're just not cutting up to our academic standards. We're going to have to let you go. He's never going to say that to you. He says, no, you're mine. From now and forever, you're mine. And like your father, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And nothing will take you out of my hand. I won't let them. As that same resurrection power is now your power. It's yours. And you are new. If you then have risen with Christ. That was the phrase. That was the verse that God used to save me. And it's good for anybody. It's good for anybody. Look, I'm the biggest loser here, okay? Like Paul said, I am the greatest, the chiefest of sinners. I'm the biggest loser here. And if I can do it, anybody in this room can do it. Not because I had any potential, because I had a creator who created a new self in me and gave me resurrection power I had no clue I even had. So I'm going to invite you and encourage you, surrender to Jesus. If you never have, die today. Die and be raised with Jesus today. Give it to him. Try it. Try it. He's alive. See it. You see it for yourself. Don't believe me. You see it. I can't put it on a table and say, look, here it is. Here's the risen Savior right here. I prove it to you. Can't do that. You can. Die. And watch this come into your life and light up right in here. And we'll be trying to shut you up about the risen Savior, because you're going to find out it's real. He's real. And all the politicians, All the mainstream religion can try as hard as they want to shut you up and to stop your resurrection, and it'll never happen. It'll never happen. You will be a new person in Christ. They sing this last song. I'm just going to hang on. I'm going to stay up here. I'm going to be singing. Probably really ugly. You don't want to get too close, but I'm going to be singing. If you've never given your life, I don't mean tried church. Listen, I don't mean tried church. I mean you've died. If you've never died, if you've never just said, I'm done, and give it to Christ, I want this. Man, you just come right up here by me. I'm going to put my arm right there around you. I'm going to pray with you right there. I'm not going to make a spectacle out of it. We're just going to pray. We're going to talk a little bit. We're going to celebrate your resurrection. Because everything's going to get brand new to you. Everything's going to take on color. It's going to go from black and white to color. Some of you have been trying really hard, man. You've been working and working and working until, man, you are just worn out trying to resurrect your own life. Just stop. Stop. I'm telling you where it's at. Just do it. He loves you.